This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But everything else costs more. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR onto one platform. It reduces IT costs, and over 37,000 companies have already made the move. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
More on this with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and the fact that he changed his story, the fact that they, I guess Shohei Ohtani's spokesperson or his people, let this interpreter sit down with ESPN for 90 minutes with an investigative reporter, and then all of a sudden they had their story, and then all of a sudden the story changed. So more on that coming up. And 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. Thank you for downloading the app and our radio affiliates around the country. Caleb Williams had his pro day yesterday. We'll check in with the USC beat writer from the LA Times, Antonio Morales. He'll join us coming up. Not everybody was thrilled with Caleb Williams' pro day. You know, you had Lewis Riddick was like, okay, like nothing special there. Dan Orlovsky's been all in on Jaden Daniels. This is what these guys do for a living. They put their reputation out there by saying, I like that quarterback or I don't like that quarterback. Feels like Caleb Williams, sometimes you stay too long. If he had come out last year, then, you know, maybe people would have a different opinion. It's like we want something new. Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman, even though he was at Arizona State, it was something new. We like that. Drake May is still maybe Mitchell Trubisky in waiting. We're like, didn't play for a football powerhouse, and wow, look at that potential. And then you got J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, and you got Bo Nix. You probably got six quarterbacks taken in the first round. But Caleb Williams had his pro day. I don't take anything away from a pro day. And I've been told, you know, otherwise, that, hey, there's certain things that scouts are looking at. Fine. I've seen pro days where I go, okay, that's nice. Jadeveon Clowney, when he had his pro day, I remember the mothership, guys who played the game were like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Freakish. And then I talked to somebody who was with the Texans, and they said, you can move him around. He has no lower base. You know, like he physically can do a lot of things, but you can move him. And had a slow start to his career. We got caught up in the measurables. Oh, my God, you see this guy. How many guys have played the game at a very high level and didn't have the measurables, but they knew how to play the game? They have that subtle, that nuance, that they do things, the intangibles, and that's what you're trying to get. The guys should have physical traits, characteristics, where you go, oh, my God, he's off the chart. Zach Wilson, he could roll left, throw back 50 yards. How many times did he do that in a game? Not many. So when I look at pro days, I'm like, okay, it's fun. It's good programming. That's what it is. You get good football programming, and everybody wants to see stuff like that. Yeah, Paul.
I mean, if you went back to Michael Vick coming out of college, if you remember what how he was viewed after college, a sure thing, an unbelievable runner, and he was considered a very good passer in college. and he never became a great passer in the pros. Just, he never got there. He was always very good and very entertaining. Take away the off-field stuff. It's like it never fully hit as a passer.
Yeah. I mean, he was dynamic, but you still wanted to see, could he play in structure? How good would he be in the pocket? All of those. I mean, he might be the most talented quarterback who ever played. All the things he could do. He could throw it 70 yards, and he could run a 4-2. I mean, he did everything. Yes. Yes, Mark.
That kind of like Jamarcus Russell, not the same, but you know what? The game came so easy to me that I didn't have to work. I'm not saying their careers are similar because they're not in any way, but everything came so easy to me, I really didn't have to work.
Celebrity Bracket Challenge, you can sign up and still have time before the first games. FoxSportsRadio.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. He covers USC for The Athletic, and he was there watching Caleb Williams' pro day yesterday. Antonio Morales joins us on the program. All right, what stood out yesterday, Antonio?
I just think the amount of investment that teams put in to watch Caleb perform yesterday. Obviously, you had Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron there for Chicago, and Washington sent Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. So you saw just how much investment and time that Caleb warranted yesterday. Obviously, NFL Network, ESPN, all those networks were there. So just kind of the hype and the spectacle of it's kind of what really stood out.
How many other teams were there?
All 32 teams were there. Obviously, not all the head coaches, obviously, but all 32 teams were present at Pro Day yesterday.
Why would all 32 go?
USC has some other good players, too. There's Marshawn Lloyd, who's one of the top backs in the draft and stuff like that.
Okay. What kind of information, like what feedback are you trying to get that helps you kind of formalize an opinion on Caleb Williams?
It's not really the football stuff, right? I think most of the conversation about Caleb in the pre-draft process has not been football related. And like even with Pro Day yesterday, I don't know if his style of play, like I don't know if you can get the full experience of that from a Pro Day because he does everything so out of structure and so off schedule and so off platform. So like I don't know if his playing style translates to a Pro Day. But I think it's mainly how he is as a teammate, because there's been all those questions about it, but there was never any kind of questions about it at USC during the 2 years I was covering the team. I've been covering the team with him on there. Obviously, like people who cover the NFL have questions about it, because the NFL, the dynamics of an NFL locker room are much different than in college, and he's replacing a quarterback that was kind of pretty popular in Chicago. So it's more about that. And obviously it was interesting to see Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus interact with Caleb's family yesterday, because there's been questions about the family and his father, Carl, and how much influence or say they have in things. So I think that was interesting as well, to kind of watch and see how teams would be receptive to that.
It's one thing that you're going to the Bears. It's another thing to want to go to the Bears. Mm-hmm. Do you get the feeling it's one way or the other with Caleb Williams, that, all right, if you draft me, I'll go there, but does he really want to go to the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I think that was like the big question. I remember the GQ article came out in September, and it was, I think at the time, most people thought Arizona was going to get the number one pick when his dad said that, and they'd kind of been a mess for a couple of years. And I don't think most people thought Chicago was going to end up with the number one pick, but you know, that fire still didn't get squashed out until the week of the combine. So there's still like a lot of doubt there. And it seems like he's comfortable with going to Chicago. But just by hearing him talk yesterday and talking about building a relationship with Poles and Eberflus and Waldron, the whole contingent that the Bears brought, I don't sense there's any issue there now, especially now that they've kind of set up a good support system around the quarterback there with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen was somebody who was there at Pro Day yesterday, and Caleb Williams said he's known him for a year, and what he could learn from him as a quarterback and as a teammate, he seemed really excited about.
Would you be shocked if the Bears don't take him?
At this point, I think I would be, just to see everybody who was out there yesterday and see Keenan Allen showing. How often do you see a pro receiver going to a college quarterback's pro day?
Yeah, but they might not tell Keenan Allen that they're not taking him.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they're going to share their draft. The Packers didn't share their draft strategy with Aaron Rodgers when they ended up taking Jordan Love. Before I let you go, the state of USC football, how much hand-wringing is there with what happened last year with Lincoln Riley?
I think there's some frustration around the fan base, and this year's kind of like a prove-it year. Obviously, they lost Caleb Williams and had some other good players on the team last year, Marshawn Lloyd, and this year it's in the Big Ten. The schedule's harder, and that star power is not there. So it's kind of like a prove-it year for Lincoln Riley. It's year three, and I think if you would have told USC fans through 3 years if Lincoln Riley didn't get to the playoff, especially now that it's expanded, I think that would be viewed as a disappointment. So it's kind of a prove-it year. They open with LSU, so it's a game that we're going to learn a lot about them right away. And I think people want to see – more from the program, obviously, and this is a big year for Lincoln.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Antonio.
Thanks.
Antonio Morales, he covers USC football, beat writer for The Athletic. Yeah, I just know what Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky have said, and they're, I think, more pro-Jaden Daniels. I don't know if they're anti-Caleb Williams as much as they might be pro-Jaden Daniels. And then we've had analysts on. Ryan Leaf swears by Michael Penix. Tim Hasselbeck loves Drake May. These are guys who played the position and being able to look at them differently than we do. That's what's interesting, amazing, and scary about drafting a quarterback. Yes, Eden.
Right, because how do the same guys who played the same position like one player and not another?
Yeah. It's what they see that they do, don't do. I remember Will Levis with Dan Orlovsky. He said, I don't like his delivery. Mel Kiper loved him. And Will Levis has a lot of talent, but what Orlovsky was saying, and even Orlovsky said this about Caleb Williams a long time ago when we had him on. He said, there are just things that, he's got to fix before he goes to the NFL. I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying, there's some flaws there. There's some things that I don't like. You're not going to be able to play the way you did at USC in the NFL. Okay. I will say that Patrick Mahomes is playing similar to how he played at Texas Tech. Now, he might be the anomaly, but if you watch Mahomes when he was there at Texas Tech, he sort of is playing the same way. And he was labeled a gunslinger. People weren't sure. Does he try, degree of difficulty? Does he not take the easy throw that he wants to do something, spectacular? I mean, this was the knock on Brett Favre his entire career. But, finding that guy who takes what you should take and try not to bite off too much, not force things. Are you a leader? I mean, there's so many things that go into being a successful quarterback. But the Bears did the right thing by getting him a couple of offensive linemen. You got a running back. You got two good receivers now. And he's got a good tight end. And maybe something more offensively in the draft. You got the 9th pick, although I've been told that they're looking defense, whether that's true or not. You're going to take whoever's available there, the best person, best player. But they did right by him. They've done right by him by doing what they didn't do for Justin Fields. I would expect Caleb Williams to have a successful rookie season. If you said he had a season like C.J. Stroud, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because he's going into a situation where you got a coach who has to win. He's on the hot seat. And you did, build up your infrastructure a little bit. Got some defensive players there. You've helped the offense. You got two legitimate number one receivers. He should go in and play right away and play well right away. Yeah, Paul?
I've got a bunch of old Patrick Mahomes draft profiles in front of me, and they're pretty much all the same. Unbelievable talent, unbelievable arm. Can make plays out of nothing. However, this guy is a project. This guy has some issues with standard plays. There's a lot of that. And two of the articles about him recommends him not playing his first year, which is exactly what he did. He played one game at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it went. I just wonder if they would have gone the other way with Mahomes and started him day one. They had the luxury of not having to do that.
Yeah, but the greatest quarterback of all time said to me a long time ago, if he was a first-round pick, he wouldn't have lasted in the league. Yeah. But I don't know if the Bears, Matt Eberflus can't afford to do that. He's in the last year of his contract. unless they extend him, which is what Robert Griffin was saying, he's like, extend him, give stability to this quarterback. You need 3 years at least to have that stability. So here's RG3 saying, hey, I know I'm speaking firsthand. If they do that, if you leave him out there just dangling, then why did you bring him back for this last year of his deal? You know, move on. Find somebody else. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up and more from the Dodgers situation with Shohei Ohtani. Once again, a source has just contacted me saying baseball is right now just monitoring. They're not investigating. Baseball will get all the facts after any criminal proceedings are resolved. So we'll keep an eye on this, see if we can advance the story. But did Ohtani talk after the loss to the Padres? I'm not sure if he did. He doesn't have his interpreter there. I wonder if he says, you know, the Dodgers say, well, he can't talk. He doesn't have his interpreter. I would think in Seoul, South Korea, you'd be able to bring in a designated interpreter to have him. Wait, you don't want him saying anything. First of all, the fact that Ohtani's people had the interpreter available to ESPN for 90 minutes. 90 minutes. That's an eternity. Imagine half of my show, I'm just talking to this interpreter. I don't have that many questions. But unless you're just, you want him to trip himself up a little bit. And that's what happens. Yes, Eaton.
That's not an interview. That's a deposition.
Yes, it's an interrogation. Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
You know, as the host of the number one rated Pauly and Tony Fusco show, we get tons and tons of fan mail every day.
Piles of it.
In fact, Tony, why don't you open up one of those letters right now and read what's inside?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear Pauly and Tony, your sports takes are the dumbest and most terrible.
Wait, not that
wait,
one.
Wait,
open this other one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you suck more than anyone.
No, not that one.
Wait.
Try this one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you guys are the absolute best.
There you go.
At coming up with the stupidest takes possible.
You know what? Just forget
what
those clowns say. Just listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Update the poll results if you can. Seton O'Connor?
I sure can. Dan, and then I have another couple to throw out for you, maybe for hour two.
All right.
We put up there the how do you fill out your bracket, research or other? Right now, 80% of the audience say other. Nobody does any research. What the heck?
There's always the guy that you're watching games with, and he feels like he knows everything about a school. And he only got it because he probably read a little bio on ESPN. But he comes in armed and dangerous. Like, you know, hey, guard play, you know what I love? They're great at offensive rebounding. You know, and you're going, yeah, you read that on ESPN.
St. Mary's, they get hot. Be careful.
What other poll questions are we looking at?
Well, we have one that's a little bit of a callback from the other day. But does Shohei Ohtani's interpreter still have the best job in sports?
Oh, that's right. Two weeks ago, Paulie threw that out there, and I go, okay. You know what? If Ohtani's covering his gambling debts, then yeah, that's a pretty good gig. Now, all of a sudden, you know, maybe he's going to jail. Yeah, Paul.
I threw it out there kind of as a half joke about the segment was, who has the best job in sports? Who's not competing, not really competing in sports? Like the Masters, the Augusta Greenskeeper. And I said Ohtani's translator because you don't have to compete. You get paid well. You get to travel. You get all the gear. All you got to do is not screw it up, and you've got the best gig in sports for the next decade.
Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All you got to do is not screw
it up. Yeah.
That was the exact line.
Yeah.
What a gig.
Yeah. It was. Was a gig.
Twas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twas.
Yeah. And the day before, they're in the dugout during the game, just chatting it up, and then gets fired. Now the investigation, a criminal investigation. Major League Baseball's monitoring this. The Padres roughed up the Dodgers today. What was the final? 15-11. And the star pitcher, Yamamoto, is that he went one inning, allowed five runs?
Yes. Five runs in one inning, but you picked the right day to have a bad MLB debut and not get a ton of coverage for it.
Yes, because I don't think many people will be talking about that. Did Ohtani speak after, Paulie?
I know the answer. Do you guys think the Dodgers allowed him to talk to the media, the local media, which there's tons of? Do you think they allowed him to talk?
Well, you don't need an interpreter for them, but the local media, I'm going to say they did not make him available.
You would be correct.
Yes.
They whisked him out of the building. A Dodgers PR person walked Ohtani out of the building, and he never spoke to any press after.
Was there a statement that was issued by the Dodgers?
Nothing so far.
Yeah. This is tough for people who work at Fox and ESPN because nobody wants to see Ohtani, you know, get in trouble. And then you're covering this guy that, you know, you're basing programming off of. ESPN, I'm sure Jeff Passan doesn't want to, you know, ding Shohei Ohtani or Tom Verducci working for Fox. I mean, everybody, this is like your Tiger Woods.
It feels like a problem, though, doesn't it?
It might be.
Might be. Hey, Jeff Passan doesn't want to investigate this.
No.
That feels like a massive issue.
Well, I don't want to blame Jeff Passan. I don't know if he's investigating.
Okay, you don't have to. All right, right. We shouldn't say his name.
No.
However, it does put people who cover Major League Baseball in an incredibly uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Because they're probably getting money from all parties involved.
Yes, it's like Tiger Woods. Nobody wanted to be critical until they could be critical, and then it felt like there were a lot of people who were. But up until that, there were a lot of things going on with Tiger that people knew, man, that's my meal ticket. I don't want to jeopardize that. With Ohtani, you know, there's a lot of great baseball reporters out there, but your network could be attached to, you know, Dodger programming. I mean, we're on Fox Sports Radio, KLAC, so, you know, home of the Dodgers. But you got to do your job. Still got to be fair to the situation there. Might not be the best, you know, for our bosses to hear, but you still have to cover the story. And you have to, but you have to do it fairly, you know. We're not, I'm not speculating on anything. We're only taking what we've got right in front of us. His story changed twice, and that's when I think my antenna went up, and I went, okay, now we have an issue here. Now we have something that baseball has to investigate. It's like, you know, a lot of these leagues and conferences, commissioners, they don't want to investigate something that's going to hurt their product, their bottom line. Baseball has to. Baseball is monitoring this, according to my source, and it's a criminal investigation because it involves illegal bookmaking. And Ohtani, did he loan, you know, his interpreter the money? Did he cover $4.5 million? Was any money bet on baseball? It just, the story's changing a little bit. But the fact that it's mind-boggling they would make this interpreter available to talk to ESPN. And then he changes his story. And then he's told that he can't comment, but that he can't tell you who told him not to comment. It just, you're not sure if how it ends here. Like, how much does this get bigger? Can it get bigger? But all we care about is Ohtani's role in this. That's it. The interpreter, they'll get another interpreter. But the fact that they're chatting it up in the dugout the previous day in South Korea, 25 hours ago, and now he's been fired, you know, probably a criminal investigation involving him, the amount of money. Did Ohtani, send these, $500,000 checks covering his gambling debts? What did he know? When did he know it? Did he tell anybody else about this? The fact that they're telling everybody not to say anything, that's very wise. You know, everybody needs to get their story straight, and they didn't have it straight. That's why it's become a bigger deal. If he said, look, I stole from Ohtani, he had no idea, okay, that it kind of exonerates Ohtani. But the fact that they have two checks that are from him, and it says loan, and it's for $500,000. That doesn't sound like somebody stole it from you. And that's the story that's being presented. All right. A couple of phone calls in here. Let's see what we have. Worth in North Carolina is back. Hi, Worth.
How you doing, Dan?
Good.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I want to piggyback on the show. Hey, on my, I called a couple of days ago for the first time about betting, and this is just icing on the cake. But yeah, I just want to comment on just the changing in sports, how MLB is changing everything and NCAA now, and the NFL kickoff is changing as well, coming from Pat McAfee yesterday. But yeah, I'm an old school guy like you. I just love how sports in general has just evolved as well, but sometimes change is a good thing and change is not a good thing.
Yeah, and I don't need change when it comes to March Madness. I don't think anybody said, you know what, we need more schools. Who came up with that? Did the NCAA? Because that's where it feels like, you know, that the genesis is the NCAA is like, oh, you know, and I think we need more teams. Hey, why don't you put it out there? We're thinking of 96 and then let everybody react. Oh, we're not doing 96. No, let's do 80. Oh, okay. That doesn't sound as bad as 96. Dave in Ohio. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Great day for basketball.
Always a great day.
And calling about my strategy as the poll is today. And as all of Seinfeld fans know, you can always find an episode to imitate live. So I go with season 5, episode 22, The Opposite. Okay. Where you do the opposite of what you would normally do.
Okay. All right. I don't know if there's any tried and true strategy like, okay, that works. I'm curious if I add up the final four, the seeds this year, will they exceed, see what I did with that, 23. I think last year was 23. Who is going to be the outlier that's going to be a double-digit seed that makes it to the Final Four? How many ones will be there? Feels like they're all vulnerable, except for Connecticut. I mean, everybody's vulnerable, but UConn, it seems like they know what they do, and it travels. No matter where they play, they still, this is what we do and how we do it. And playing for Danny Hurley, you're going to play defense. You know, they're not as in love with the three-point shot as a lot of other schools are. You got Kentucky and Alabama, two of the highest scoring teams. Kentucky plays as much defense as I do. And that's zero. But they are fun to watch. I do like them. I do like them a lot. But I just like that they're fun to watch. You got four NBA guards playing for Kentucky. Nick in Iowa. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind today?
What's up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what is your ideal setup to watch the first weekend of the tournament? Also, just wanted to see if you had seen the piece on Cleveland Park by your boy, Wright Thompson, yesterday. It was an awesome piece. Well done.
We have Wright Thompson. He wrote a profile on Caitlin Clark, and we have Wright on tomorrow. One of the great writers in America. He did a wonderful profile on Caitlin Clark. My setup to watch the games is in the basement by myself. That's it. Don't need any other friends. Yes, Eden.
Is the desire to be, this isn't about you specifically, it's about those of us who may prefer to spend time by ourselves. Is that a red flag or is that just a normal thing?
Well, I do this for a living, and the last thing I want to do is do this for a living while I'm sitting next to you. Where, like, if I'm watching, I usually watch with a couple of guys who played college basketball. Therefore, probably not silly questions. You're going to get, I might be asking as many questions as they're asking me, but sometimes you get in a group setting, and I'd just rather watch it myself. Sometimes just watching and not saying anything, I'm fine with that. Yes, Eden.
Sometimes I very much avoid group settings, and part of me thinks, you know, I think a normal person would just be okay with this. But instead, I'm like, I'd rather just do it myself.
Well, sometimes I think I'm doing you a favor by not being around you.
I get that.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not any fun. You know, I just want to sit here, smoke a cigar, have a, you know, some whiskey or maybe a beer or something like that. Just kind of just chill. Just soak it all in.
You know, I think part of it might be, too, the older I get, the less time I have by myself.
Okay.
And so the when the opportunity presents itself to be like, you know what, I think I could just do this by myself. It sounds kind of awesome.
Well, when you have a lot of kids and having four kids, and I remember when they were younger, like all you needed was like, can I get like 15 minutes by myself? And then they would find you. Yeah. Like, I'd try to hide. And then we go, we found you, Dad. And I go, yes, you did. Hi, kids, come here.
Well, somehow my one kid seems to monopolize a hell of a lot of my time.
Yeah, Paul.
For the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, I actually like going to the pub and having all, you know, four different games on four different TVs. Even if you don't know that many people, you kind of like bro out over it and enjoy it. I will say, though, Dan, I've been with you on the road. And you go to a sports pub during a big game, and you can't watch.
That's not a good idea.
Yes.
You are in a category we can't discuss as like a personal tick. Like with Seton and I, it's whatever drives us. It's our personal tick. We're not famous. But I've been in sports bars with you, and you get bothered to the point where you have to bolt.
Yes.
Because you are a high-end sportscaster. Not just a sports person, but it's their moment to, hey, and then what do you think of Tulsa?
And somebody's going to want to bet, and then they want your opinion, and then I don't want to give you an opinion if you're going to bet because I don't want you to come back to me and say, you told me to take Tulsa. Like, no, I'm not telling anybody to do anything there. And then it ends up where you're not watching the game because you're like, hey, can we get a pic? Come on over here. We're getting a picture. We're doing shots. Even when we went to the Notre Dame tailgate, and all I wanted to do was just, it was USC Notre Dame. Brought the Danettes, and we were just having fun. And then all of a sudden, Seton's like, can we get a beer around here? And I go, yeah, of course. It's a tailgate at Notre Dame. And I remember walking in, and all of a sudden, there was like 50 guys doing
what fireball.
Fireball. And I went, and they said, come on, you got to do a shot. You got to do a shot. I said, I'll do a shot if I get a beer. You got it. You got it. And then I got ready to do the shot, and then there were like 15 cameras. And I go, no, we're not. No. I don't want the beer that bad. No. We don't need to take a picture of everything. Let's see. Bill in Texas. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Morning.
Morning.
I wanted to double down on the Wright Thompson. That was awesome. He's awesome. Want to circle back a little bit to earlier in the week when we talked about Danny Hurley being the face of NCAA basketball and maybe his family could help him calm down a little bit. Just wanted to say that as someone who played in White Eagle Hall in Jersey City back in the 80s and 90s with Bobby and Danny, Mr. Hurley is perhaps top of the list. As a kid from North Jersey, I thought I had a pretty good grasp of four-letter words and how to stack them and use them and put them in a sentence. But that guy is an all-timer. And having seen Bobby now out in Arizona State, I'd have to say Danny is third on the list, as scary as that may be.
Yeah. I got a chance to visit with Bob Hurley Sr. And I went to his condo where he lives in Jersey City, knocked on the door, and he was like, oh, hold on, let me put my teeth in. And I go, okay. And then I walked in, we sat down, and just talked basketball for probably an hour. And he just known, I mean, Jersey City, man. Tough guy. Hold on, let me put my teeth in. Okay. I think he was watching Judge Judy or something when I was in there. But we just talked basketball. It was good. And having covered, you know, Bobby when he was playing at Duke, and having known him for a long, long time, I didn't know Danny, but knowing Bobby for a long, long time. Interesting coaching tree that you have there.
It's funny that, like, taking your teeth out at the end of the day might be like, you know, like when you get home and you take your shoes and socks off and you're like, oh, God, that's
done for the day.
You know, like my wife at the end of the night, she'll be like, take her bra off. She'll be like, oh, my God, thank God that thing is finally off me. I wonder if that's what taking your teeth is like. You just take your teeth out. You're like, oh, finally, get my gums rest.
It's wild.
Let me take a break. More phone calls coming up back after this.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
We talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, that the NFL was moving towards, they want to have a kickoff. You have to have a kickoff. They don't want to start a game at the 25-yard line. You still have to have a kickoff, even though no kicks were returned in the Super Bowl. So what they're trying to do is the kicker would continue to kick from the 35-yard line. The other 10 players would line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team would line up in a setup zone, is what they're calling it, between the 35 and the 30. Up to 2 returners can line up in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. No other people than the kicker and the returners can move until the ball hits the ground or a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks would then be marked at the 35-yard line. No fair catches would be allowed. Okay, that's interesting. Now, if you want an onside kick, this is what I asked my source with the NFL. Do I, by you know, lining up for an onside kick, I'm telling you it's going to be an onside kick. For the most part, you know an onside kick is coming. It's very rare. Now, it happened in the Super Bowl a couple of times, certainly famously with the Saints to open up the second half. You would have to inform officials of its intent and then would be allowed to use the NFL's traditional formation. No surprise onside kicks would be allowed. Yeah, so this echoes what I was told. So they're going to adopt what the XFL did, and that is they're going to cut down on the amount of speed that you can build up to go down there and make these tackles and have these collisions. And it's more of a, we're standing maybe 10, maybe 15 yards apart, and then you get the ball, then you block, and then we try to tackle you. Therefore, you have some movement here. Because the NFL didn't want returns, but they still had to have the kickoff. And they kind of put themselves in a corner where it's like, what are you guys going to do about this? Because every kicker, it feels like, puts it into the end zone. If they want to, they can put it into the end zone. Well, now you have a little bit more strategy here. And you're going to have movement here, and that's what we want. And now you have guys who made careers out of being a great kick returner. Now you're going to need that kick returner again. So I'm fine with it. And if it cuts down on, you know, guys getting ahead of steam there and go, you know, running into people or the collisions that you have. I mean, that's the most violent play is going to be a kickoff or a punt return. I mean, that's where guys really get lit up, jacked up. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking back at the XFL. They did this for a couple years, or a year, I should say. And it almost looks like kind of a rugby scrum. What's going to be interesting for people watching on TV, they have a wider shot of the entire field. Usually you focus on the kicker and the people running. Now the kicker is way off to the right, and these guys are only 5 yards away. It should. They also want to do this rule, they said, before the draft, so people know whether to draft players who are return specialists or people have return abilities in their games.
No. Are they going to do this with college? How far does this trickle down here? You still have these collisions. Now, granted, you're bigger, stronger, faster with the NFL. They also talked about the hip drop tackle, making it even tougher for somebody to go, wait a minute here, did I hip drop tackle you or am I going to? And it just feels like it's tougher and tougher and tougher to officiate a game. And the NFL keeps adding. They don't subtract, they add. Now, one more thing for the official to go, wait, was that a hip drop there? All right, we'll get some phone calls in here. Donald,
sorry to interrupt you. I never played football, certainly not on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm.
How do you tackle somebody now?
I have no idea.
I guess you just wrap them up and fall over?
I guess. I mean, it feels like whatever you do, you're probably...
Fall over to the side of them?
There's a chance you could get flagged. It just feels like that. You hit them too high, hit them too low, hit them too hard. How you bring them down, you know, it's really difficult, I think, it happens in a split second. You can't go, oh, I need to do this while you're going in to tackle somebody. But you can see defensive linemen sometimes. When they're going and they have a sack right in front of them, they're careful in what they do. And like, I got to go to the side here. Or I'm going to land, I can't land on you. Got to go to the side here. That's not fair to ask defensive players to think before you tackle because it happens so fast. You can't do that in the moment. Donald in St. Louis. Hey, Donald, what's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dan. First off, I want to, I got a beef with Paulie I need to settle. I'm the one, I called him about a few weeks ago and told a story about being part of a court storming at Duke in 1998. And when I got off the phone, Paulie changes the year to 1995 to a game that Duke didn't even win. It was the Jeff Capel game where he hit I think it went to double overtime. He's correct. But Duke lost the game, so they did not storm the court that time. It was 1998. Please look it up to verify, and I would like an apology from Paulie. But as far as the strategy, I don't have a strategy for the bracket. I stopped doing brackets about 15 years ago because I suck at it. I would fill out 15 of those things, and every last one of them, I would have one.
You only get one bracket to fill out. That's it. And if you fill out more, you can only talk about one bracket. Because we all have friends who fill out five, and then they pick to every upset for some reason. Oh, I had that. I had that upset. Really? You had that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had Virginia going down to a 16 seed. Okay. All right. Yeah, Paul.
Before we move on, I'd like to apologize to Donald and all others who are affected by my mistake.
Carrie in Texas. Carrie?
Good morning. Good morning, men. This Ohtani thing, this is, I think we're going to end up going down a black hole on this thing because, you know, us old school guys know how rigid baseball can be. And just when baseball seemed to be getting its act together, games are getting fun, players are getting interesting again, because it was one of the best interviews you've ever had on your show, I wonder what Vin Scully would have to say about this. And can we get a vote for Pete Rose for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The Hall of Fame can put him on the ballot. The Hall of Fame chooses not to put him on the ballot. He's not getting into the Hall of Fame. If he does, it'll be posthumously. More on the Shohei Ohtani situation. Dodgers lost to the Padres. Ohtani was not made available to the media. Have more on that coming up top of the hour after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.